Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
There's one piece of TV at the moment that's absolutely unmissable. Two fine gentlemen travelling across the United States trying to hustle their way in some pool halls. It is, of course, Ronnie O'Sullivan's American Hustle, and his good friend and broadcaster Matt Smith is the man alongside him for it. Let's have a word with him now. Morning, Matt.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
Great, thank you. Started last week on The Box. What a great show. I know you recorded this a few months ago, but yeah. I bet even now, looking at it, you're thinking, oh, we had a great time there.
Well, it was quite good fun, as hopefully that comes across in the show. It was one of those situations about this time last year when Ronnie, who I do know and have known for quite a few years, phoned me up and said, look, I've got this thing that they've suggested and it involves the two of us travelling across America playing pool. What do you think? I said, well, I'll have to have a good think about it, Ronnie. Okay, I've thought about it. Let's go.
It's not just playing pool, by the way. There's some funny bits in there. I mean, you can see a preview online. You're shooting guns in some bits. They lock you in a prison somewhere. You play a bit of American footy. It's almost like you're exploring a bit of American culture and life as well.
Yeah, well, that was the idea. It's for History Channel, and it, as you say, it goes out on a Thursday night at the moment. The first one went out last week, and there's three more. Those will be in Chicago, Memphis, and San Francisco. So the flavour is a bit different in each place, and the history, obviously, and culture is a bit different in each place. So we try and get under the surface a little bit of where we're at, as well as, obviously, trying to set up some pool hustles and some matches with famous players to see if Ronnie can step up in a game that's a bit strange to him. I mean, I know the rest of us all think that pool and snooker, how different can they be? Well, for a player like Ronnie, who's spent his whole life on a snooker table, it is quite different. So it's a learning curve for the both of us in lots of ways, but hopefully we have a bit of fun along the way.
How much pool has he played? So was he really thrown in with the sharks here?
He was. He played, obviously, when he first started, because he was too small, literally, to play on a snooker table, he played some pool in the pub, I think as a kid of about 10, 11. But even at that stage, he was starting to mess about on a snooker table. And as soon as he was big enough to literally be able to play on a snooker table, he turned his attention to that, because that's where the game was in this country. Obviously, snooker is a much bigger sport, and it's also, I think, more difficult technically to play. So and once he displayed an aptitude and a talent for snooker, then that's the way, the direction his dad pushed him, and clearly he went from strength to strength. I think he made his first century break when he was 10 or 11. He'd made a 147 when he was 14, and he was beating professional players around that time. So he has played pool on and off over the years, but never regularly enough, and it's the feel that you lack for a different type of cloth, a different weight of ball, a different type of cue. All of those things are quite strange for a guy who spends every day having that subtle feel and touch that a top sportsman has.
That whole idea of sort of hustling, I would imagine it goes on quite a lot over there. Pool's massive, isn't it, in America?
It is big, and it swings between tournament pool, which for a while was very big with famous players like Efren Reyes and Bustamante, some of them American, Earl Strickland, who you saw in episode one, some American, some Filipino, some Far Eastern, who have dominated in tournament pool. And then you get this underbelly of pool culture in halls where the internet age is slightly damaged the possibility of travelling incognito, turning up in a town unknown and racking up some big wins before you have to get out of town quick, because people now know who the hustlers are. Their faces get passed from place to place, so it's difficult for them to stay under the radar. But one or two, I think, are still doing it, or they try and set up big money matches in, obviously, the likes of Atlantic City or Vegas, where two big names slug it out, sponsored by backers for a big suitcase of cash.
Did they know him? You know, was he even on their radar, Ronnie?
In some places like New York, obviously, there'd be snooker fans mixed in with pool fans in the pool halls. And so, yeah, sometimes he was picked out pretty quickly. But once or twice, particularly in places like Memphis, no, he wasn't. And that was great. That was exactly what we wanted. I mean, we had cameras with us, which makes it difficult to go under the radar. But we tried to make out we were just two blokes making a documentary. And would you like a game, sir? And once or twice, we pulled it off, and you'll see as the episodes unravel that once or twice we do get the wide-eyed look from people. We even, at one stage, I think it's in the last episode, we ask a guy if he wants to play him left-handed or right-handed. Of course, he doesn't know that Ronnie O'Sullivan can play both hands. So we have a bit of fun with that as well.
Oh, brilliant. So he actually has some big wins in it, without spoiling it. There's some good moments, are there?
There are. Definitely are. And any money he wins, we do give back. We weren't so cheeky as to actually walk off with people's hard-earned money because obviously we're masquerading him as something he's not. So yeah, we didn't exactly pay for our dinner across America, but we had our moments. So,
and just give us an insight into Ronnie's character, because he's one of those, when he's playing the game, he's so intently focused, and I think it's quite hard to judge him as an individual, but when you see him on this series, he's the most laid back, funny, chilled. He just looks like he's brilliant company.
He is. He's a really, really interesting and nice fella. Obviously, like I suppose a lot of people in his shoes, they've obsessively done one thing for a large part of their formative years, the years that you and I grew up and did all the daft things that teenagers do. He's played snooker, basically. So he's lived in this bubble. And now he kind of wants to break out of that a little bit. He wants to be still as good a snooker player as he can be, but not. He doesn't want to spend 6 hours a day or however many hours a week like some of the top players do. He wants a life a little bit that he missed out on maybe earlier on. So he wants a mixture of things like this where he can open his eyes to the world around him. He's travelled a lot but never seen a lot of places because, like sportsmen do, it's hotels, airports and snooker halls or football stadiums. So this is a chance for him, among other things that he's doing, to actually spread his wings a little bit. And I think he's got a lot to offer just as a person, not just as a snooker player. He's a smart and entertaining fella.
So maybe a bit misunderstood.
I think so. He gets painted, obviously, as the rebel. I don't think he really is. He's just a guy that has earned the right to go his own way at times, you know, and I think he does find it at times, I think, difficult to play the PR game that World Snooker like to use him for. But of course, they need him. He is very much the box office draw in their sport for all of the great other players that are around. Ronnie is still a guy that that creates a lot of interest in the sport, so he's aware of that. But I think we have our ideas of him, but hopefully this series lets you get to know him a little bit better.
Is it you or him who likes the cars? I'll tell you what, some cracking cars in there.
Well, he's the petrol head. I'm a guy that just likes to get from A to B. I'm not really a car nut. But having said that, if it was just a modern flash car, then I wouldn't really be. It wouldn't be for me, or probably much for him. But we get more of the vintage cars, as you saw, the taxi in New York. Well, there's obviously three more interesting cars that slightly connect to the time as well as the place where we are. So there's a Cadillac, a Mustang and an old Packard that will feature in the next three episodes. So they form part of the fabric of the story too.
Absolutely delightful. Thursdays, it's on the History Channel. Ronnie O'Sullivan's American Hustle. Look, you were doing the FA Cup coverage with BT Sport at the weekend. Mm. Liverpool came a cropper straight away. Had Connor Cody on in the last half hour. He was just talking about the fact that they knew. They'd been looking at Liverpool's, you know, what was going on their heads over the month of January. They felt they had a great chance heading into that game.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I wondered whether you were playing Keep the Faith for a reason before I came on. It is a period now that obviously is the first time, no doubt, Jurgen Klopp's really felt the pinch. I think, personally, obviously, it's not one thing that's gone wrong over the last few weeks. It never is, really. It's a number of things. Fatigue, lack of confidence, which has come from results, key players missing either through AFCON in the case of Mane or injury in the case of Matip Coutinho have come back. Fits and starts, changing the team to try and cope with the number of games. And they've just had a poor run. A lot of teams have had a poor run at one stage or another this season. This is Liverpool's. It's come at a bad time. But for sure, they now need to get themselves back on the front foot as quickly as possible. They've got a great opportunity to do that tomorrow. But it would be a massive change from the last few weeks for them to pull out the kind of performance they'll need against maybe one of the best counter-attacking teams I could think of at the moment in world football. And that is Liverpool's Achilles heel. They've got to fix that. That they're so exposed when they attack that teams pick them off on the break, and Wolves did that brilliantly on Saturday.
And what about the FA Cup as a whole, Matt? Is it struggling at the moment in the sense that even teams at the top of the Championship now are deciding this isn't their number one priority? So we see Newcastle, Brighton, Leeds going out at the weekend.
Well, I don't think it's struggling. I think we've had some amazing stories this weekend, and actually changing your team is not a problem for the bigger clubs. If it works out for them, if you look at Chelsea, made 9 changes on Saturday afternoon, no problem, easy winners over Brentford. Spurs made 9 changes, nearly came a cropper against Wickham, but got out of jail with a bit of luck at the end to win 4-3. Liverpool get the stick because they've gone out. Manchester United made a number of changes. It depends, obviously, how strong your squad is, but it also means we get great stories, like at Lincoln and Sutton. Incredible to have two non-league teams, obviously a league I cover for BT, two of them in the fifth round for the first time ever is extraordinary. And I just think that gives the competition a uniqueness that is what we all cry for. The idea that the FA Cup is losing its glamour because the big teams are picking second string sides. Actually, I think it adds to it in a weird way. It might not feel like that when your team gets beat with the youngsters or the B team out, but I think actually for the competition, it's fantastic that you've got teams that you don't watch every week into the latter stages.
Matt, great to catch up. Thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, Steve.
Matt Smith there. Don't forget, History Channel, Thursday nights. Ronnie O'Sullivan's American Hustle. What a job that is. Matt's just gone across America to a few cities with him, hung around in pool halls and generally had a good time with an absolute snooker legend. It's well worth a watch.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.